It's a short portion of scripture that we read. Well, I'll direct you to the last verse that we read. And we'll center our teaching this morning on these words. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when we began to read, we read this, that he spake this parable unto them who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised. So many people then trusted in themselves. Trusted that they were righteous. So many people thought, no, I'm not so bad as the other people. I go to church. I sing. I call out, hallelujah, amen. I say God is good all the time. My neighbor, he had three wives. He's so bad. And my neighbor,
as my soul will go, so
at night time she lets a man come into her house for 1,000
kwacha.
She's so bad.
Terrible.
Oh, don't do that. I'm righteous. And I exalt myself. My neighbor, he beats his wife. I respect my wife. Like the Bible says, and my neighbors, they have charms under the bed. And on their body. But and they do that because they trust that when someone is when they get sick that the charms will help them. They're terrible. When we get sick, we go on our knees and we ask God. We don't take charms. This is the people we're saying. So many people. And the Lord Jesus seen it. He came into the village. And he listened to the people. And he seen so many people were walking around self-righteous, thinking they were better than their neighbor, better than their sister. And this is what he knows. And he spoke this against them. Against those who trusted that they were right. And what kind of parable did he tell? He put two people. He talked about the one who prays to God every week. Who goes to church and who does all kinds of so-called good things. And then when he goes to church, then he prays and he thanks God. God, thank you for everything. And you bless me because I keep your commandments. I give my tithes every week. And I do good things. But there was another man who was in the church. And he didn't
lift
up his hand. Why? He knew himself. He was a sinner. He tries to keep the commandments. But I failed. Every day. In his heart and in his mind and in his thoughts. And he's crying out. God have mercy upon me, a sinner. And God says this. Do you see him? Do you see her? She's crying out for mercy. And he's And he can't say nothing more than, I am a sinner. There's nothing good in me. I sin every day. And I break the commandments every day. This is what this man was saying. And God said this. The Lord Jesus said this. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now, if you notice, there's two big words. And those two big words I want to help you with today. The very first word was righteous. Right? In verse 9 it says, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And the other big word in verse 14 says, this man went down to his house justified. So we have the word righteous and the word justified. And that's what I want to help you with today. And I need you to know something. I'm not coming here to tell you nice, warm things. That's not why God sent me. Many preachers, they come and they say, everything is okay. You're doing good. Keep up the good work. Love one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm coming here to tell you a different message. To expose you. To expose us. And then I have a very first question. Is this village in trouble? Or not? Is this village in trouble?
Yes.
It's in big trouble. Because in this village, there is children walking around who don't know who their father is. Is this village in trouble? In this village and in this church, there is woman whose husband has run away. And you have to take care of yourself. Am I lying? In this village, there is men who are speaking into women's houses. Am I lying? In this village, there is houses with charms in them. Am I lying? In this church, very today, there is people who put their trust in God.
Hallelujah.
Am I lying? In this church, in this village, there are women who didn't want their baby. And got an abortion. Am I lying? In this village, in this church, there is secret dealings going on with one another. This village is in trouble. This church is in trouble. And you know why you are in big trouble? Because the majority of you, or maybe all of you, are doing the same thing as this publican. I go to church, I give tithes every week. I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, or even as this publican. That's what we're like. That's what you're like. That's who we are. And I want to tell you about grace. But I can't tell you about grace if you don't even know who you are. Because grace is not for good people. Grace is not for... Oh, hopefully she comes back.
Spokesperson
is leaving. Is she going?
She's just putting the
at the back. Very well. Oh, okay, wonderful. Go away. Because I want her to hear it too. She's a very brave woman. In most churches, they won't speak. So I admire her that she wants to speak about it. And that's why I want to even help her too. Let's go back. I can't help you with grace. If we don't know why we need grace. Grace is not for righteous people. Grace is not for people who are doing pretty good. Grace is for sinners. Forgiveness is only for those who confess that they are sinners. Those who are doing good with the commandments are not sinners, they're self-righteous. I want to tell you about grace. But grace is not centered in me and you. Grace is outside of me and you. Grace is only in Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of it. And grace has no conditions on man. The law does. Follow me closely. The commandments are conditioned on man. The commandments say do, or you will die. The commandments say you better do perfectly, or you will die. You know, and in the Bible time, so many people were trying hard. To keep the commandments. And the Lord Jesus came. And the Lord Jesus says, if you want to keep the commandments and get to heaven, you don't need me. But the Lord Jesus says this, why aren't you doing it then? And so many people like this publican. Sorry, like this Pharisee. Was like us. We think we're doing good. We think we're okay. And we're trying hard. But then you don't need Jesus Christ. And you know what the people were saying then? They were saying, yeah, but I don't commit adultery. I'm doing good. The Lord Jesus was tired. And went to the Pharisees. And you know what he said to them? You don't commit adultery? Literally? The law says, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not go in with other women or men. But I say, says Jesus Christ, if you even look at a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. It means this. If you even talk to another man besides your husband, even just negotiating with him, you know how that happens? When you pass by someone and you have some talks, and it's not your husband, if you do that, you have already committed adultery. Why is the Lord Jesus saying this? Why does he expose them so much? Because he wants to teach them from the wrong way of salvation. He wants to teach them that if you think you can manage it, you're mistaken. If you are self-righteous, like so many of you are, trying to keep the commandments, he has just no grace for you. Grace does not get mixed with the commandments. See, because sinners can come to the Lord Jesus and cry out for mercy. And I don't know if you have ever done that before. As long as you're self-righteous, you don't need mercy. You see, this Pharisee never said, have mercy on me. He only told God all the good things he's doing. But the publican, the sinner, he didn't even lift up his head. All he cried out for is mercy. And we hear about another word. It's justified. Now, does anyone know what justified means? And does anyone know what righteousness means? I'm going to explain them as best I can for you
both of them. Righteousness means that you are perfectly right in God's eyes. Like we were in paradise. Perfectly righteous means there's nothing wrong with you. It means you're sinless.
It
means you're pure. Being right in God's eyes. Righteousness means that God can look at you and he doesn't see any fault. Into perfection. Are you following me? Perfect. That's to be righteous. To be justified means this. Means justification is the process to become righteous. It has the word justice in it. Now follow me carefully. If we were righteous, then justification is not needed. If we were perfect creatures, then we don't have to be justified. The problem is this. There is no one who is righteous before God. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned. No one is good. No one is right in the sight of God. Only some people are saying, yes, I'm trying, I'm doing good. Even here. No, I'm good. I share my sima. You see, and you're trying to argue with God. You're saying, no, God. You have to look at me. I'm right before you. And God is saying, no. You're not right in my sight. Even your best deeds is like filthy rag. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Even your best righteousness is like filthy rag. Now do you know what those filthy rags are? Don't
mean
to tell you? It's when a woman discharges her egg after 1 month. And buries it. Now let me ask you something. Would you take that?
Would you take that evidence of a discharged egg? And would you run to the village and say, ah, look at me? No, you would get rid of it. But there's a lesson in this. Because you just did that today. You said, I share my sima with my neighbors. I do good works. I love each other. I do good things. That's what you just did. It's exactly like if a woman discharges, would run through the village with what has been discharged and waving, say, look at me, ah, look at me. That's exactly what happened today. You see, because
it's
very important that the teachers get also this teaching. Because if the teachers don't get the teaching, then we're going to go on in the wrong doctrine. Let's go back. Righteousness means to be right in the sight of God. But the Bible says there is not one who is good. No, not one. Do you want me to read it for you? Do you want me to read how bad it is? Since maybe you don't believe me. Let's go to Romans chapter
3.
I'll let Aubrey read it in Chichawa only.
Book Roma chapter 3.
Look at verse 10.
Verse 10. Bible
as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Monga kwalembedwa, palibe mmodzi olungama, inde palibe ngakhale mmodzi. Ida kusimikiza, palibe mmodzi olungama, inde palibe ngakhale mmodzi.
Now read to verse 17.
Verse 17.
I'll read every verse until 17.
All of them.
Yeah. So start where we just started. 10
to 17.
Now go to 11 to 17.
Okay. There.
Listen carefully.
Patieni mbara nega 17. Mumbesirebu. Munga barembedwa paribe mmodzi olungama inde paribe ngakhale mmodzi. Paribe mmodzi wakudziwitsa. Paribe mmodzi wolondola Mulungu. Onsewa abatuluka pamodzi akhala opanda pake. Palibe mmodzi wakuchita zabwino, inde palibe ngakhale mmodzi ndithu. Mmero mwawo muli manda bululu, ndi lilime lawo amanyenga. Ululu wa mamba uli pansi pa milomo yawo. Mkama mwawo mudzala ndi zotembelera ndi zowawa. Miyendo yawo ichita liwiro popita kukakhetsa mwazi. Kusakaza ndi kusauka kuli mnjira yawo. Ndipo njira ya mtendere saidziwa aunavino ndi Mungu.
That is bad, isn't it?
So vanga zo wa kwambile.
Does anyone here say this is not true for them?
Alipo mina na kuzo na zina na mana bozo sezo kwa ndisi zona. Kuna wa kuna ma.
You see, that's how bad it is with us. There is not one who is righteous. Not one of you can come to God and say, God, I have done good in my life. I tried my best. I've done many good things.
You
have to pay me. I can go to heaven. Nobody can do that. Nobody is going to be saved by what you do. And it's true. The law, the commandments, are commanding you to do it.
Malamulo akukufunza kuti mudzi wachita. Malamulo ajama rikakamisa kuti dzi wachita. Ndizvo mura zvinozonana.
But we know we can't.
Kuma tibatsira kuti tisingakwanisi.
Even if we try, we can't.
Ngakati kuti tisetse kwambiri tisingakwanisi.
Now, this is where you have to listen carefully.
Amira vamba vanofa munhu mvetsere machini kwambiri sopa.
Because this much you already know.
If what zambiri mera kuti uzadzi mudzi wakati.
At least your heart is saying so. And that's why you've been so confused. Maybe all of your life. You see, God says we have to do the commandments to be saved, but we can't really do it. How does that work? How can I be justified? How is it going to be possible for me to go to the Lord and be righteous? Means to be sinless. To be holy. That's possible. It's possible. But you need to know how. And therefore you need to hear the mystery of the gospel. See, now we get to the word justify. That in that word is justice. You see, here's the problem. You and me are a sinner. We have no righteousness from ourselves. We can't even build up righteousness. So what has to happen? Justice has to take place. It's just like in the village. If there was a man in the village who was murdering people, you're going to go in an uproar, right? And if you catch him, what has to happen? Justice has to be done. He has to go to jail before a judge. And he's going to be accused by you. But imagine something. Imagine this man murdered 30 people in your village. And I'm the judge. And you say, you are accusing him. And I say to you, but he's a good man. We should let him go. I'm giving him some favor. Let's give him some faith. Would you be okay? No. You can't do that. If I was a judge, I would say, let's give him some favor. Let him go. You would say, no. I would say, but this man, he gave everything. He gave 10 bags of maize away. Give him some favor. It's okay. Why are you being so hard on him? Why can't he go? Why can't we give him some favor? See, that's not going to work. If I did so, as a judge, I let him go, you would be very angry. Wouldn't you? You would go cry out to the government. Maybe this village would make riots. The just was not right. He let him go. But you would protest. Is that correct? Now this is the same way with God. You cannot go to God and say and come. You cannot go to God and get some favors from
Him.
Because you will have to pay for your debt of sin. And God is not going to say, ah, you've done some good things, so I will let you go. That can't happen. So now I want to tell you how it can happen. You need to be made holy. You need to be made righteous. You need to be clean. Sin has to be taken away. Mothers,
as my,
you have to be made holy. Please listen to me. Because I'm not telling you about a prosperity gospel, I'm telling you the true gospel. There's only one way to do this. And the Bible tells us we need to be justified. Justice has to take its course with you. You need to be justified. How do we do that? How can my accusation be taken away? How can my guilt be removed? How can the curse be removed that's on me? This is the gospel mystery. And there's only one way. That is that one man is desirous to take your place. Someone else has to take your punishment. Someone else has to take your curse. That's the only way. Because justice has to be served. And Jesus Christ is the only man who can take your place. He's the only one. It has nothing to do with trying to keep the commandments. You can't anyway. You need to be saved by grace, not by works. Are you hearing me? You need to be saved by grace, not by works. See, grace over here does justice in an other man. Grace says this: let someone else take your punishment by taking your sins so that you can go free. That's the gospel. And you know what you're doing now? When the gospel comes to you, you might still be doing this. You still might be saying, yeah, but what about the good things that I do? I'm keeping some commandments sometimes. What do I do? Don't they count? No. Don't count at all. They're like filthy rags. Grace justifies you, but it's all conditioned in Christ. The law puts the condition on you. Keep the law and you shall live.
iwewe ukafuna ukhale moyo usunga malamulo.
But then you have to perfectly keep the law.
Ndiye umafuna usunga malamulo onse khumi osaphanya ulimonse.
And even if you could do that,
ndingasukwanisa.
Then you wouldn't need Jesus Christ.
Ukadzama munthu oyelela akadzama ofika pote akwanisa usunga malamulo onse khumi a Mulungu opanda kuti osawagwisa amene Yesu saufunira. Amene adzangokulunga straight osadzama Yesu.
If you can achieve righteousness based on works,
mukadzakwanisa ndiye kukhala woyera ungwiro chifukwa ndi musunga malamulo a Mulungu.
What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You won't need him. Because if you can do it, what do you need him for? But if there's anyone here today who wants to be saved, who is looking to be saved, there's no other way than through Christ alone. Are you hearing me? This is a gospel you may have never heard. I don't believe you've ever heard this gospel. And I hope that this gospel is pricking your heart. Because I came here today with a lot of people who were very self-righteous. But I hope you become a sinner today. I hope your heart breaks today. I hope some people today are going to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. What did this sinner do? He went like this. I hope some of you do that today. I hope you walk to the village and that you say that you have to say to your neighbors, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm a wretch. My life has been nothing but lies. Away with my charms. Away with witchcraft. I don't want to go at night time into the field anymore. I've pretended long enough. I hope some of you will smite your breast today and call out to God for mercy. I hope you go to the borehole to collect water. And then there's no more gossiping about the other ladies. But that your heart is broken. And that you say to the other ladies, I am a sinner. Because if you do, then you are close to the kingdom. And that's a different gospel than you have been hearing. It means that you can be justified by faith. You need someone to take your place. Your sins are too great. You can't even count them anymore. Do you remember when you were 16? 17,
15,
20,
do
you remember those
years?
Ah, don't talk about
that.
Do you remember what happened that night? Remember that night? When you heard this? Do you remember that? You see this, your sins are so great. And I hope today someone is bowed down. Heavy. With guilt.
even the oldest one here today.
Grace
is available. Grace can happen in your heart. And it's a heart matter. It's not a mind matter. You can't trick God. You can trick your wife. Wives can trick their husband. You can trick each other. You can make stories. But you can't trick God. And we have to stop trying. Why? Because God looks in our hearts. He knows exactly what your motivation is. And why you're doing it. And you are heavy laden with sins. And the one thing you're trying to do is you're trying to do some good things. You're trying to find a way that if I do some good things, then the bad things will go away. If I become a pastor, God will favor me. It's not true. If we build a church, God will favor us. That's not true. God cannot favor you for something you do. There's only one way God can favor you. Is faith in Jesus Christ His Son. That makes you free. That takes away all your guilt. Is to believe in the only name given under heaven and upon earth. Whereby we may be saved. And it's the name of Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can justify you. But how can He justify you? How does that work? How is it possible that justice can be served in another person? God's justice must be served. You have to be punished. And if you're not punished, then someone else has to take your punishment. Mothers, you have to be punished. Are you following me? You have to be punished for your sins. I have to be punished. Otherwise, God would no longer be God. Otherwise, God would no longer be holy. So, you and me have to be punished. And what is the punishment? It's eternal death. The punishment is eternally lost. To be with Satan. The liar. Whom we believe. That is going lost. The punishment is to be tormented forever. Are you hearing me? The punishment is to be tormented forever. In hellfire. That's the punishment for me and you. And then justice will be served. So let me say it again. The only way justice can be served by God is that we all here are punished and eternally tormented in hell. And And then there's only one way of escape. Don't talk of favors by doing the commandments. Please. There's only one way. Is to find someone else who will take my punishment. To find someone who will take my place. And you cannot, I cannot ask him to take my place. Because he has to be punished for it. I can't ask you to take my place. Because you have yourself to take. You can't ask your sister or mother to take your place. You can't ask your pastor to take your place. He has to take care of himself. Who can we ask? Who will take my place? I preach to you today that Jesus Christ is willing to take your place. But up until now, you don't want him to take your place. Maybe you say, "How? Why are you saying we don't want him to take our place?" Because I heard it today. Because you said this. We have to do the will of God. We have to do the commandments of God. No, you don't. Do you know what the will of God is? To repent and believe the gospel. Do you hear me? When someone says, do the will of God, that's why I ask, what is it to do the will of God? And you all began to tell me something. Now we have to do the commandments. That's not the will of God. Because we already know that that's impossible. And if that was the will of God, then he didn't need to send Jesus Christ. Are you following me so close? I don't know if I will ever come back. I'm sent to spread the gospel throughout all Malawi. And I don't need to come back. Because as an evangelist, I can tell you once and make this gospel clear once. And if you continue on the way you were, then you will go lost. But that's why I'm trying to tell you the gospel. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Today, as you hear, that you can be saved by faith. You see, because when doing the will of God is to repent and believe the gospel, justice needs to be served. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was beaten. He was scourged. He had no sin. Why is he being beaten? Why is he being scourged? Not for his sins, but for yours. He went on the cross where he died. And what did we just say before? What is the punishment? Death. He took death. For who? Not for all people. No. Only for those who come by faith to by faith and believe the gospel. And I don't know if you have.
But I am afraid that you haven't. I'm afraid that you, that many of you are in a false gospel for so long. And I'm bringing you a new gospel. It's justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ. That's it. It's got nothing to do with you. The gospel is not conditioned on what you do. But the will of God is this. Repent and believe the gospel. Evangelist, what does that mean? What does it mean to repent? Again, it's something so many people are mistaken in. If I would say, what does it mean to repent? I know some of you would say this. To stop sinning. And do better. That's not what repentance. You see, sin is a result of something. Sin is the result of my rebellious heart.
And
I can think to repent, to stop sinning and not do it anymore and do better. But it's not something I have the ability to do. And this is what is happening to Malawi. This is what is bringing Malawi into great darkness. Malawi is full of churches. Full of so-called Christianity. Malawi is full of pretense. Pretending to be a Christian. And your life is so different. And we need to be exposed. Do you know what repent means? It means turn back to God. So what do you need to repent from? Not sins. You need to repent from your culture. Your traditions. That's what Malawi needs to repent from. From your culture. Sin is the result from your cultural practices that are unbiblical. Your village is walking away from God. And you do what your mothers and fathers did. And your cultural practice. And you say, no, God. We are okay. We have our culture. Every time I ask something, I ask, why do you do this? Then I see you say, it's our culture. It's just our culture. But I say, is it biblical? Don't worry about biblical. It's our culture. You see? If a man leaves a woman, who has children, goes back to his village to seek another woman and leaves mother with a child.
Nah,
it's our culture. You see, so what you do And you say, God? You stay quiet. You
quiet.
I will leave my wife and my child. I'll go find a better one. You stay quiet. And you go further in your culture. You know what you do? In your culture. You come to church. You say, God is good all the time. Then in the week time, you go to the herbalist. God, I don't need you now. I'm sick. Tell me, what must I say? But what happened with God is good all the time. It's a lie, isn't it? It's pretending. And do you know why you say God is good all the time? You know why? So that you can sometime get aid from an organization. This is your culture. This is your tradition. My friends, and this is Malawi's problem. Repenting means this. Repenting means saying no to culture. And turning back to God. And going back to God. Going back to Scripture. Going to His Word. It means this village will be in trouble until you repent. This church must repent. And I don't mean try to stop sinning. This village is full of sin. And it's all because of your culture. Are you hearing me? Please hear me carefully. Let me tell you something. Let me give you an example. When you take a bottle of water, when I go like this, and water pours out, am I going to blame the bottle? Why is this bottle pouring water out? Why are you doing that? Can I do that? No. And that's exactly what is happening in your culture. You are saying, you are asking, there's much sin happening in the village. We have to stop. No. Your culture has to change. You have to repent from your culture and go back to God's Word. No, it's not okay to make a woman pregnant. And go back to your village. No, it's not okay. I know it's your culture. But repent from your culture. And mama, no, it's not okay to say, well, I'm hungry, so I need to let a man in. After all, it's our culture. My mother did it too. It must be okay. Only when you're really hungry. My dear friends, I'm telling you a gospel that is far different than you ever thought it was. Jesus Christ wants to take
your guilt.
Yesu Kristo afuna jose tembero lan.
He's asking you today.
Agufusa ndi banolero.
Repent.
Agudiwe laba.
Repent from the way you think.
Laba ni mene maganizia zinotano zisha.
And turn to me.
Mwenderu kwai.
And I will change your life.
Ndume wa wondau sinta.
I will give you righteousness.
Ndikupasa chirungamo cheni cheni.
Jesus Christ says this, repent today.
Yes, I love you.
Turn to me. And I will be your husband. I will take care of you. You don't need to go into
each time.
You don't need to go each time and get aid. Bags of corn.
And blankets.
You do that because of your culture. Your culture is what makes you do that. But you don't need to. God can take care of you. He can bless this village. He can bless your family. But you won't repent. And I'm calling out to you. This whole church. Repent. And believe the gospel. The gospel says this. Jesus Christ is willing to make payment for this
village.
With his own blood. Mama.
Am I?
Jesus Christ is willing to pay for you. But you don't want it. And you want your culture and your tradition. But you pretend that you want it. So we can get the aid. You know what I see? In the church collections? On Sunday? You know how it happens? I see many of you get 1,000 from letting a man in. On Saturday night. And on Sunday morning, you take 10%. And you go to the front. Oh, do you think God wants your money? Your stinky money? And when evangelists or organizations come here, what do you ask for? Oh, we need a new church. Do you think God needs a new church? You think he's going to say, ah, oh, those people are so good, they're building a new church. No, God wants your heart. Jesus Christ comes here today.
Yes,
and he wants to expose you with the gospel. He's not coming here with nice, soft, pleasant words.
Yes,
no, he's coming to expose you. He's coming to say you're wrong. You're a sinner. Just like he came into the village when he was on earth. And he exposed everyone. He went to a woman at a well. And he said, go get your husband. And she said, I have no husband. And he said, you're right, you don't have a husband. Yes, because you have five husbands.
Yes, and I'm so good at his own. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
And the one you have now is not your husband.
What you think is not your husband.
That's what he was saying to her. And she said, oh, how do you know me? She says, I perceive you're a prophet. You know what was happening? She was being exposed. She said, oh, give me that living water, then I never have to go to the well again. She wanted the benefits, but she didn't want to be exposed. No, don't expose me. You too? Do you want to be exposed? Because when I came here, you were having much trouble. I seen it in your eyes. When I was telling you the truth, I seen in your eyes. We must show this evangelist we're a very good church. We have to sing nice. We have to be quiet. And we have to do, we have to show this evangelist. It's tough to know who we really are. To be told who we really are. Under our tongue is nothing but poison. That our mouth is an open sepulchre. You know what that means? You know what that means? Go to the graveyard. From someone who has been buried for years. And open it up. What are you going to have? It's going to stink. Yes? You agree? That's like our mouth. It stinks. What we say. What comes out of our mouth, it stinks like an open sepulchre. That's who we are. And we're nothing better than that. There is nothing but evil in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. Friends, your soul is at stake. You need to be justified. You need to be saved by grace alone. And I'm preaching you a gospel as though that Jesus Christ is presented here today for you. And whoever repents from culture and tradition and believes in Jesus Christ will be saved. Now, maybe you've heard this in the Bible. What the Lord Jesus said. Maybe you've never understood it. But he says this. If you shall not hate mother or father or brother and sister for my sake, you cannot see the kingdom. What does he mean? You know what Jesus Christ means there? He means that he saw a lot of people who were married to their culture, married to their tradition. And they said, if I believe in this gospel, I must reject witchcraft. I must reject all the things we practice in our culture. It's too risky. I can't follow. And that's what's happening in this culture. You won't leave your culture. You cherish your tradition. You cherish your culture more than you've ever cherished the gospel. But if anyone today will believe in Jesus Christ, then what will happen? You will be persecuted. Because your culture won't be able to handle it.
chifukwa chifere chako sichidzakhala mukusekerera iwe urachisiya.
But Jesus Christ says this.
Yesu anena kuti,
whoever shall follow me take up his whoever let him take up his cross and follow me.
Ayesu anena kuti tsara msiyana yesenze mtanda wake nditsati.
That means it's a cross.
A
burden on your back for the rest of your life. Your mother will say, out.
I don't know.
You will say, your brothers will say, out.
Go out
of my village. Why? Why? Because you're going to now talk to your family about witchcraft. And how that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You're going to go to the borehole. And you're going to tell the truth. You're going to go to your sister and say, the man you took inside
us.
You cannot do that. And I must expose you. You see, they will kick you out. They will be angry with you. They may even try to get witchcraft to get you out. See, this is what the Lord Jesus meant by believers in Him. Your life does not become easier. Your life becomes a burden. But your soul gets rest. To be forgiven all your sins. Then you give your life up. And you don't become a pastor. But you become an advocate in the gospel. And you give your life up. You don't care about the things of the earth anymore. But you give your life over in the hands of Jesus. If they murder you, because you tell the truth, just like they did to Stephen, then so be it. You give your life into the hands of Jesus. My friend, the gospel you've been hearing is a false gospel. And I'm warning you with all my heart. If you attach yourself to culture and traditions and want to season it with the gospel, you will come out wrong. But if you cry out for mercy, smiting your breast, and you go to God today and repent. I mean to tell Him. Repenting means to tell Him everything you used to believe. Lord, these charms, I don't want them anymore. I repent from these charms. Cast them outside. And stamp on them. Lord, I repent from this. And you tell your family, my family, I have repented. I have repented from charms. And they will never come in this house again. Because Jesus Christ is my charm.
And
then your son comes home. And he takes charms in the house. And you take his charms. And you throw them in the Shara River. And you tell him, This charm is from Satan. He might be very angry with
you.
But you take the persecution because you've repented. And mothers,
as mine.
Your husband comes home?
Amuna na bale kunyumba mazuru.
And he has, you know where his children are?
Nimuguzo kuti amuna nga pasabedi baje.
And you throw them in the church
area. Nga basimabiza chimbuti.
And he says, where are they?
Yewe maburanga dasi yabo chinjanga chikuti.
And you say, husband.
Ye amuna.
I have repented.
Iya ine ndalapa.
Jesus Christ is my child.
Yes, and then mtongo akunyumba.
He might beat you.
Iya ina kuponderana.
Maybe to death.
Amuponderana.
That happens.
Yo ngata vintu vyo.
But it won't matter to you. Because Jesus Christ is your new husband. And that's what I'm preaching and bringing to you today. And you can go on. You can carry on with your life. You can go on Sunday to Sunday. Coming to church. Holding on to your culture. But you will never be, ever be able to say that you have not been warned. From today on, you will never be able to say to God, you didn't send anyone to tell us. You'll never be able to say to God, why didn't you tell someone to tell us to forsake our traditions and culture? But God will say this, I sent an evangelist to you on June 16, 2023. And he told you the truth. But you rejected
him.
You rejected Christ. You rejected the gospel. In favor of your culture. And in favor of your tradition. And then God will reject you. And he will say this. Depart from me. You worker of iniquity. Into eternal. But I tell you one more time, there is hope. Today, if you hear his voice, if your heart is hearing his voice, don't harden yourself, but break and believe the gospel by repenting and fleeing to God for mercy. Say, Lord, here I am. In your house? While you're making sima tonight? In the field? He hears and sees you. And you can go to him. And you can say, Lord, I repent. And maybe so many people today are going to repent. And this village will start to change. This village will see a revival. Other villages will come and say, what has happened to this village? It's changed in this village. This village will see a change. Mothers will love their children and husbands. Fathers will love their wives and their children. God himself will build you a church. And this village will rejoice. If you repent and believe the gospel. Amen.
Amen.